This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll dig into today's arraignment of former President Donald Trump in a New York court, and you can join in with your reactions, your thoughts, and your questions about what exactly is going on. First, we're going to take a break, a breather from that big news of the day. A well-known character is making his return to the big screen tomorrow.
It's me, Mario.
The Super Mario Brothers movie hits theaters fully animated and sporting a big-name cast. No offense to Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo from the original live-action movie. The Mario reboot has gotten a lot of attention. It's the latest in a trend of more video games receiving the adaptation treatment for film or TV. Think Sonic the Hedgehog, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, and The Last of Us. Is it a sign of things to come for movies and TV? What makes a good adaptation? Could Mario be it? We're going to get into all of that, as well as some of the history and legacy of the friendly and legendary plumber. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have Mario or Super Mario or Mario Kart memories to share? Did you grow up playing some version of the game or his first appearance way back in a game called Donkey Kong? Did you get into the series later at light? Did your kids play it? Do you want to see your favorite video game, whatever it might be, turned into a movie or a long-running TV show? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Brian Carr is Associate Professor of Communication, Information Science, and Women and Gender Studies at UW-Green Bay. He's author of the book, The Transmedia Construction of the Black Panther, Long Live the King. Brian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. I'm really excited.
You're a fan of video games. You teach about them. Do you feel the hype? Do you feel the buzz? Are you excited to see this new Mario movie?
I'm looking forward to checking it out. I'm not sure when I'm going to get a chance, but it's definitely been kind of interesting to see all this stuff that has been sort of codified into my youth and, let's be honest, my adulthood and probably well into my old age, kind of manifesting in this sort of really big, accessible spectacle.
I don't want to age ourselves here. My first Mario encounter, though, was in Donkey Kong, running Mario up those ramps and failing to dodge barrels mostly. When did you first encounter Mario, Super or otherwise?
I'd have to be in the Super variety on the original Nintendo Entertainment System back in the mid to late 80s. I got mine fairly young. One of the things that helped me learn how to read at a young age was those instruction manuals. So definitely have a long standing history with this character in particular.
Now, Mario, in some ways, you could say he's the most iconic video game character of all time. What is it about Mario that has sustained him through all these different games and even kinds of games over the decades?
So I think there's a couple things about Mario that make him so unique in that regard. First off is the fact that he's a very warm, inviting character. He's not edgy. He's by definition not cool, and that's very important. He is just a sort of everyman that anybody, and that was from the intent or beginning. That was the intent. He was designed to be an everyman that could be ported into a bunch of different scenarios and situations, whether he is fixing pipes with his brother or trying to bring a gorilla back to the zoo or even becoming a doctor dishing out, medical treatment, which even the creator of Mario has kind of hinted may or may not have been legitimate. He's really just a malleable character that can fit into a variety of different situations.
Now, here in the United States, I haven't really thought about this before. He's portrayed as an Italian American plumber, mm-hmm. but this is a game made in Japan. Like, does he read the same way there, or does he fit a different sort of cultural norm in other countries around the world?
So the interesting thing about Mario is that he is sort of a part of a long-standing tradition of characters created in Japan that were designed to be what's known as culturally odorless, right? They're not really identified as being from specifically that country of origin. So Mario is a character who was created in Japan, but he was sort of determined to be Italian through just over time, and specifically from New York and Brooklyn. But his adventures take him to this sort of like European kind of medieval fantasy inspired world. There's elements in his other games where he'll travel to country levels inspired by different countries and cultures. And so there's a term in Japanese called Mukokaseki. I apologize, maybe not having the best pronunciation of that, where it's basically a character who is designed to appeal to a variety of different cultural contexts. And Mario, because of the way he was constructed, the way he was built, primarily as that everyman, he was designed through hardware limitations more than anything else to be this very sort of bright and iconic and identifiable character with very pronounced and sort of recognizable features. He just appeals, like, you know, he doesn't speak, he doesn't require like a lot of sort of cultural knowledge or background to understand. He's just, here's Mario. He's your friend. We're going to go on an adventure together. It's great.
Talking to Brian Carr from UW Green Bay about Mario, a.k.a. Super Mario, and a new movie coming out, just about to come out. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or did you have a connection with Mario and the many, many games that have come out over the years featuring him and his cast of friends and relatives? Do you like video game to movie adaptations? Are there video games or computer games that you would like to see turned into a movie? How about that Last of Us TV show? Was that a successful jump? How about those Resident Evil movies? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, on the video game to movie theme, let's check out the earlier attempt. This is back in 1993. Not well regarded very much. Here's a brief clip of John Leguizamo as Luigi and Bob Hoskins as Mario. They're in a car chase here, driving a stolen police cruiser.
Security alert. Stand by for special bulletin.
Mario, look! You look terrible!
You don't look so good yourself.
Alien species escaping from police detention.
Aliens? Well, we gotta deal with aliens too?
Luigi, we're the aliens!
Yeah? Whoa! Cool!
Now, Brian, I don't think things are usually unanimous in the film critic and fan world, but I think most people agreed that they didn't like this particular Mario to movie version, right?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because there has been a sort of fan reappraisal of this film in recent years, with a lot of people considering it a secret, sort of subversive masterpiece. I don't think I'm prepared to go that far personally. I remember watching this movie at the height of my Nintendo fandom and at the height of my uncritical approach to film when I was like, you know, five or so, eight, whatever. And just thinking, this movie's bad. Like, this is not a thing I'm enjoying. Things have changed a lot. That movie was definitely made by people who had a vague understanding of what the source material entails, but not necessarily how to turn it into a larger film. And that's actually one of the kind of long-standing issues with film adaptations of video games in general.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. CK is with us in Whitefish Bay. CK, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, CK?
I was calling to bring up that I would like to see God of War Kratos on the big screen.
Okay, the God of War Kratos video game. Now, I'm flipping through IMDb. There's a movie called God of War. It's Chinese. I don't think it has anything to do with that video game. People often want to see, Brian, their favorite video games turned into movies. Are you seeing a movement toward that these days, more where CK's dream might come true?
Well, I can tell CK that Amazon has actually ordered a God of War TV show, so... yes, there is definitely a lot of interest. So Hollywood loves to adapt existing properties. We saw this with the Marvel and DC movies most recently. There were those adaptations. In fact, we just saw a trailer for a Barbie movie that's coming out soon. So if there's a built-in audience, there's a known quantity, something they can associate the movie with. They love looking for that. And video games have recently become one of those venues they're really trying to dig into more, thanks to the success of some of the things we're talking about right now. Thanks. But yeah, God of War will be coming, CK.
Thanks a lot for that call, CK, at 800-642-1234. Now, it really depends on the video game a lot, doesn't it? Like, some video games and computer games have really interesting plots and characterization, and some, you know, have more and more complicated obstacle courses that the hero runs through. Does that tie our hands if we're trying to make a video game movie out of something that doesn't have a lot in the way of plot?
It absolutely does. So The Last of Us has often been held up as the thing that broke the video game adaptation curse. I take issue with that because we have had some really great adaptations of video games in the past. I think it also kind of short sells the ability of video games to tell stories as a medium into itself. But Let's talk about why The Last of Us was so successful. The Last of Us was so successful because the structure of that game is basically the structure that they followed for the first season of that TV show. Each episode of that show corresponds roughly to a major arc or a major part from that game, with the exception of the third episode, which they largely constructed for the show, and ironically is probably the best part of that show. So that was this thing where the game part was almost secondary to the narrative and the structure of the narrative as a sort of cinematic or television story. Whereas with a game like Mario, as you mentioned, it's less about the narrative. The narrative is not the main plot. The narrative is there as window dressing to explain why things happen. If I pick up this mushroom, why do I get bigger? Right? It is not the main thrust. The main thrust of the reason you play that game is for the sense of challenge, the sense of exploration and discovery, and to kind of, you know, get better times, get better scores, that kind of thing. Whereas The Last of Us, your primary motive for playing that game is to see the story through. So a story-driven game is sort of by definition easier to translate over than a game that isn't. And the other issue with games turning into film in general is that games are really kind of motivated more through challenge. We become associated with characters or attached to characters because we project ourselves onto them and our stories kind of become intertwined. So it's harder to kind of create that and turn that into an actual, you know, three-part arc, as opposed to if I'm going to spend 60 hours playing Mario and getting all the secrets, what story have I told other than the one that I've kind of made for myself?
Now, I can't leave this hanging there. You mentioned that there have been successful, in your view, past video game movie adaptations. Name some names.
I will absolutely name some names. So I am of an age where I remember when video game movies were uniformly bad. If a video game movie came out, it was essentially synonymous with this movie is bad. Now, there were some, you know, people loved that original Mortal Kombat that came out in the early 90s. Largely because they were very smart and just ripped off Enter the Dragon. So if a good recipe for the early ones is like, if you're going to adapt a movie, find a better movie and just make a knockoff of that. It worked. Since then, we have seen some instances. The Detective Pikachu movie was very successful, at least critically, in part because they decided rather than adapt the traditional story of the Pokemon games, we're going to take a sort of side game, a side story, and then just do like sort of a mystery kind of science fiction movie, as opposed to, hey, this kid's gonna go on a journey, find a bunch of Pokemon. We're gonna instead tell the story about a father and son trying to reconnect, and Pokemon kind of is the sort of backdrop for that. So finding those more human stories is a good way to kind of make those things successful. The other movie that's really been successful is Sonic the Hedgehog. The Sonic the Hedgehog movies were surprise hits. Sonic has been a reliably popular franchise, especially with young kids, ever since he was created in the early 90s. But these movies kind of hit on it because, again, they are essentially superhero movies for kids. And, you know, as much as superhero movies should be for kids, they often aren't. So a Sonic the Hedgehog movie where you have a character with superpowers who goes on these crazy adventures, but also is very identifiable and accessible to young people, makes that really successful. And of course, you also have the Resident Evil series, which has almost nothing to do with the games it's based on, but instead uses the sort of backdrop of evil corporation creates zombie virus to instead tell a bunch of very just very over the top crazy action stories.
We're talking about the new Mario Brothers movie, as well as video game adaptations for TV and movies. Brian Carr is with us, Associate Professor of Communication, Information Science, and Women and Gender Studies at UW Green Bay. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have fond memories of playing any or many of the Mario and Super Mario line of games over the years? Do you want to see them made into a movie somehow? Are there other video game movies that you have liked or much less than liked? Are there games, computer games, video games that you want to see turned into a movie or TV show? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're bringing up our talk with Brian Carr, Associate Professor at UW Green Bay, talking about the history and legacy of Mario ahead of the new animated features release tomorrow and the larger trend of video game adaptations for TV and movies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite video game to movie adaptation? Do you have one you want to see? Do you want to play more Mario? Are you a big Mario fan from time immemorial? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to your calls now. Trevor is with us in Milwaukee. Trevor, hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to see?
I think Grand Theft Auto should be a movie.
Yeah, now, Grand Theft Auto, Trevor, it seems like that's one that was pretty heavily influenced by a lot of movies. Do you think there's stuff, there? You want more of it, and you think there's a good story to tell based on the game itself?
Well, I think we need more violence in this day and age, quite frankly.
I got you, Trevor. Thanks a lot for the call. It's interesting, and Brian, Grand Theft Auto, a game, mm-hmm. a very immersive game where you do lots of crimesing. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, again, as you correctly pointed out, Grand Theft Auto is a series heavily influenced by film. You look at something like Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Scarface is all over that one. San Andreas is heavily influenced by films like Boys in the Hood and that kind of thing. It would not be a huge jump to see Grand Theft Auto make that leap. And I think in a lot of ways, it would just become the question of what do you add to a Grand Theft Auto movie? Is it simply a crime story? Is it a satire? Is it both? So I think the challenge would be, how do you take something where the game is trying to tell you one story and the gameplay is letting you do something else in many cases, and create a sort of cohesive, creative vision for that? And I don't believe there's been any large conversation. Apparently, there was at one point an attempt to bring Eminem into a Grand Theft Auto movie, but I don't think that went anywhere.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We've heard from a couple of people, Brian, who couldn't stay on the line, who offered their movies they'd like, or video games they'd like to see turn into movies. Jeremy and Potosi mentioned Final Fantasy VII. The mm-hmm. ending was great, Jeremy says, should be a movie. I don't know. What do you think? So that's one people are really immersed in. But just having played the game and seen the ending spoil the movie, or vice versa? I don't know.
And that's always one of the great challenges of adaptation, right? What can you add that is unique enough for people who have already seen the story and experienced it to enjoy it, but also does not necessarily violate what they expect, right? So we're actually seeing the story of Final Fantasy VII be retold and reimagined in games right now with the Final Fantasy VII remake. My question would be, if you have a story that is that big and that sprawling that takes over 60 hours, what do you cut? And that's one of the great challenges of taking these big immersive games and saying, how can we take this 60-hour story and cut it down to 2.5? Even a trilogy would be very difficult.
Back to our callers with Jake on the line in Hudson. Jake, hello.
Howdy. I really enjoyed the Halo Forward Unto Dawn prequel series that Netflix did.
And Jake, did you play or do you play the Halo video games?
I was, I think, 3 when it first came out, but my oldest sister dated and ended up marrying a guy that really got me into it when I was in my teenage years. I'm 27 now. I love Halo, and they took the prequel, so it didn't interfere with any of the current games.
Jake, I gotcha. Thanks. And Brian, that's an interesting approach, saying, mm-hmm. okay, yes, we're going to play in that universe. We're going to do a movie. It's not going to run up against, you know, the narrative of the game. The prequel or postquel or side story idea could be a good strategy.
It definitely could. And we have had some instances. The Assassin's Creed movie, for instance, is part of the larger mythology of that franchise without directly adapting or undoing one of the games. Now, that movie wasn't very good, but that is another approach you could take. And in a sort of transmedia environment where we're trying to tell stories across multiple platforms, doing that prequel, that side story, could be a way to go. They did actually do a Halo TV show, but one of the challenges with adapting that is that you have a main character in Master Chief that consciously does not show his face because he's meant to be a player avatar. They showed his face. They gave him a backstory. They gave him a personality. The show was not super well received by a lot of fans, and that's a big part of why, which is, again, one of those challenges when you have already created an idea of who this character is in your mind. Can recasting that with an actor really match up to that?
Thanks for that call. Stuart is with us now in Madison. Stuart, hello.
Hi there. I just wanted to say I am a huge fan of the original Super Mario Brothers movie from the 90s. But one game I've always wanted to see, and I know they're working on it, but I haven't heard much about it in recent years. Metal Gear Solid would be really mm-hmm. cool to see on the screen.
Yeah, I'm seeing on IMDb Oscar Isaac attached to it, but very, very little information. Brian, you nodded along there. What do you know about that?
I'm a huge Metal Gear fan. I would love to see this made. And that's another movie, that game that draws heavily from cinematic influences. Hideo Kojima has not been shy about saying that, you know, he, you know, in a lot of ways, he probably wishes he was a film director instead of a game designer most days. But you can see the influence of a lot of different films. I mean, right down to the character Solid Snake being almost a direct lift of Kurt Russell from the Escape From movies. You know, again, how they will adapt that large sprawling narrative into a movie remains to be seen. But casting Oscar Isaac would be a good start as Solid Snake. I think that that shows they're at least in the right direction.
Stuart, thanks a lot for that call. Now, Brian, a bunch of movies scheduled to come out, Gran Turismo, Fallout, Twisted Metal. There are more. A lot of these we've mentioned have at least something in the works. Are video games, I've seen other people ask this, are video games going to be the new, you know, superhero universe franchise movies?
I think we are headed in that direction, especially if you are a Sega fan. The success of Sonic the Hedgehog has led to a lot of adaptation requests and a lot of work on films like the one I'm most excited for is the Yakuza franchise. I'm a big fan of that series. There's already a movie in development for that. Space Channel 5. I think there's a Golden Axe or Streets of Rage movie out there.
No,
these
way.
Are all things that just excite me at the sort of lizard brain level. So I'm really excited.
Wait, Golden Axe?
Golden Axe, yes. Wow. I believe there was discussion of a Golden Axe movie, because I was always joked like, oh yeah, they're gonna do Golden Axe next, and I think they actually are working on a Golden Axe movie. So at least I know for sure the Streets of Rage one is happening, so maybe I'm getting those wires crossed, but or maybe it's just I'm trying to manifest that in the universe. And I think if Mario does well, they will definitely be interested in approaching things like Zelda and other big Nintendo franchises. And Nintendo has a lot of movies and a lot of characters they have not yet leveraged in this way.
Brian, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's Brian Carr from UW Green Bay. We talked to him about the cultural history of the video game star Mario and how we're seeing lots more video game adaptations for movies and TV. I laughed with Golden Axe. That is the video arcade game that ate more of my quarters back when video games ate quarters than any other. My buddies and I used to just feed it until we could actually complete the whole thing. Golden Axe movie? We'll see. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer-Kent, spring is a great time to visit a Wisconsin state park. Get some recommendations and share your favorite springtime state park trips. You can email right now, ideas@WPR.org. Then join the conversation tomorrow morning at 8 on the Ideas Network. For some of you, eggs may be on your mind this week. With Easter coming up, you might be gearing up for some Easter egg decorating. And you might be thinking about eggs because of higher prices over the last year, in part because of a bird flu outbreak. They seem to have come down some. Eggs, they're handy, they're versatile. You can hard-boil them for Easter, fry, scramble, over-easy omelet, quiche, frittata. The list goes on and on. Here's another use for eggs I hadn't thought of, creating priceless works of classic art. As reported by CNN, researchers have been taking a close look at egg proteins found in paintings by Rembrandt, Botticelli, and Leonardo da Vinci. The use of egg yolks in painting goes back at least as far as ancient Egypt. But previously we thought, hey, these Renaissance paintings, they're just kind of accidentally contaminated with egg. No, this study says these artists are using them on purpose to bring out colors and to prevent wrinkling and color damage over time. Could be used to help preserve those paintings. If you think buying eggs at the store is expensive, it's still cheaper than buying an original Botticelli. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.